Okay, so we're here on Daf Beis Omud Beis. The Gemara had talked about how you know Yud Dalet, how you know Tet Vav. Because it's not clear from the Psukim what's what. So the Ramban asks a question. The Ramban asks a logical question. Generally speaking, we have a principle of lo titgo to do. We like everybody to do the same thing. Now, put an asterisk in there. Obviously, we don't all do the same thing. And in Judaism, there's a lot of room for minhag and different nusach.
But it's rare to have a holiday.
But it's rare to have a holiday on different days. And if you know the sugis of lo titgo to do, not to break up into different groups. Are you aware that this was a serious value? The strength of numbers. As a matter of fact, one of the reasons why we don't let the B'nai HaKfarim do it on the 11th, 12th, or 13th anymore, according to at least one of the Shitot, it's maybe motivated by this. By not doing things in numbers, by not doing things all together at the same time, it could even cause some danger to have this, invoke the wrath of the Goyim on us, and etc., etc. So why didn't they just institute it that it should be all on the same day? As they could have said, aware as they were, that that in Shushan there was an extra day and the day that they rested was not on the 14th but on the 15th. But they could have said, b'chol zot.
They could have used or
the opposite.
The second Thursday.
Right.
or the opposite could have said, because back then, but like nothing was over for everybody.
Or they could have said that since the center of the Purim story was Shushan, so everybody should do like Shushan, whatever it is. But they could have. Why did they? Besides the fact that Purim is obviously a magnet for all types of things being different than right. You know, like it's crazy. Like it gets a kid tonight. You're trying to get the kids up into bed. And they say no bedtime tonight. Vina afachu. I said vina afachu. Well, you get up to bed. So the Ramban considers the classical answer. Now, the classical answer is this, the 14th is for everywhere else because the war was on the 13th and the 14th was the day celebrated, and the 15th is for Shushan, and then by extension to all walled cities, and by extension to all walled cities, not just from the times of Shushan, but from Yahushua. We're going to come to that momentarily. And therefore, each place celebrates according to the day which corresponds to the actual thing. And that's, the answer that's classically given. But the Ramban points out that even in Shushan, the main battle was still on the 13th. When they had an extra day of battle, that was, just for cleanup operations. But the Iker battle, and therefore the Iker Nitzachon, was on the 13th.
Yeah, in that year, they weren't free to celebrate in the next day.
That's true. That's true, but they could have said the Chag is the day following the Iker battle.
Also, wasn't that was the day of the Chickadee parade.
There was two different Ha'ir Shushan, Shushan Habirah, two different locations.
Right.
And significantly in the Megillah. And
then, Habirah does not mean the capital city. And it's that Shushan Habirah doesn't mean Washington, D.C. Right? Shushan Habirah means
the fortress.
The fort, the inner...
The palace.
The inner fortress, the inner palace.
The forbidden city.
The forbidden city in China. So the Ramban says, initially, Purim was unlike the way that we always imagined it. As we imagine, when Esther says Kitvuni Ladorot, there's the ninth perek, which talks about the kind of institution of Purim from here on out. We imagine that the next year it came to Tu Bishvat Higia. They were thinking, in a month from now, assuming it wasn't a leap year, in a month from now it's going to be the anniversary of what happened last year. Maybe we should do something. And they made the Yontif of Purim. So the Ramban does not agree with that kind of conventional view of things. Ramban says it took a number of years until Esther said Kitvuni Ladarot. And in those first years, it was kind of grassroots.
Like the Mangal.
Like the Mangal. And David is a scholar of this topic about the history of Yom Ha'atzmaut, that how it took. I mean, just think about it. Even in our own lifetimes, even in the last, now it's pretty set. Now it's pretty set. But I remember when I first came to Israel in 94, this whole thing about when Yom Ha'atzmaut comes out on Friday or on Motzei Shabbat. Does that ever come out on Motzei Shabbat?
They don't.
Right? But it does often come out on Friday. That your Makdim and your and then Yom HaZikaron come, and as you do, and as if Yom HaHe'iyar comes out on a Friday, so to avoid Chil Shabbos, you move it back to Thursday, and then you move Yom HaZikaron back to Wednesday. That's a new, relatively newfangled thing. When I came in the 90s, it was like the first times that they were doing this.
I think they were always concerned about Yom HaTzmaut being on Friday, but they started being concerned about Yom HaZikaron being on Friday.
They were concerned about Yom HaZikaron being
on.
No, because Yom HaTzmaut can't come out on a Shabbat.
But Yom HaTzmaut coming out on Sunday.
Sunday, maybe.
They added more considerations.
Anyway,
Yom HaTzmaut does frequently come out on a Friday. As a matter of fact,
it's Sunday because it's Motzei Shabbat. They're worried about
No. But the very first Yom HaTzmaut, Hey ER 1948, was a Friday. And it does often come out on a Friday. It comes out, I think the way the calendar is set up, it comes out less frequently. But then it wasn't a Nidcha. So, no, and that was the thing. They rushed it a little bit to finish it before Shabbat because Ben-Gurion understood that he couldn't alienate the Datim. So in those years, so it was the first time that the Rabbanut said officially we're going to do it. And I remember that first time, it was like 94, 95. You can look on the calendar to see which year it was. There was like debate. Okay, there'll be like Washington's birthday and Washington's birthday observed. Because people said, not like what we did, this is not to become the minug. The minug now is whenever you look on the calendar, it says Yom HaTzmaut, that's the day you say Hallel on. Even if it's Dalid.
If you don't say it, that's the day you don't say it.
I don't know. Right. Now that we make so many changes, it looks like we're going to make it every year on Thursday.
Like America, like it's always on a Monday.
So have it always on Thursday.
Yeah, but long easier. Weekend.
Thursday is the one day that Hey ER could ever fall on.
Oh, so is that there's such a proposal? Oh,
so now with all the changes, it keeps falling on Thursday anyway. So instead of just make it Thursday every year, and
it's like Yom HaTzmaut and Kavua on Thursday.
Right. In other words,
Kavua Friday.
But even now, the minhagim are still not set.
No, but I think the overwhelming majority of Hallel sayers, which is after all the minority of the country, the overwhelming majority of Hallel sayers say it on whatever day is officially Yom HaTzmaut.
That there's no question about that. The question that I ran into, I think it was might have been 2 years ago, was whether or not to say Tachnun on
the actual day, on
the day of Yom HaZikaron, on the actual day of Yom HaZikaron, which was being observed on a different day because it was moved.
Only Jews. anyway, the point is that until this story that I'm telling you, where it wasn't clear what we should do, that was 45 years after Kom HaMdina, and they're still working it out. And now I think in the last number of years, it's become rather standard. Like here, we only say Hallel on whatever day is observed as Yom HaTzmaut and Zeu. And I think that's the majority opinion in Rov Tfutzot Dati Lu'umi. You want to get an extra day off on Friday, which is technically Hey ER. You don't want to say Hallel. You don't want to say Tachanun. No, because there's like a Rishimu. There's like a residue of so Beseder. Like nobody complains about getting an extra day off from Tachanun.
Israel.
So the Ramban says that's what Purim was like originally. The first number of years, it was a kind of grassroots thing without a special Takanat Chachamim.
Look, it was a problem in the Megillah of that, because the whole initial thing of the Mishloach Manot was done from the people, and then later Mordechai Nesser said to
them. Right. So only the Bnei HaKfarim, only the Bnei HaPrazim, rather, the Ramban says. But it was the Bnei HaPrazim, it was the not the walled city dwellers, it was the suburbanites who celebrated this grassroots Purim in the initial years. because they were the ones that felt the greater existential threat. If you lived in a walled city, you experienced the milchama much differently. You did not feel this was a life or death. Have you ever seen these pictures of Milchemet Atzma'ut in Tel Aviv? Like, we always have this image of, like, Milchemet Atzma'ut went on for a year plus. You have this idea that they were, like, always b'matzor.
But the cafes were full.
But in Tel Aviv, the cafes were full.
Yeah. Tel Aviv was
right? You know, you felt the war differently depending upon where you lived. So
they didn't even have internet in those days, so that you had to see it every day.
They didn't have television, they didn't have internet. Then. So,
that's why the coffee houses were open. That's where you would go to the coffee houses, and then you'd sit around the table and they'd read the newspaper and they would talk about it.
Like, right.
That's how you.
So, Ramban says that the people that lived in the walled cities, they hadn't experienced the war of Purim in the same way that the people that lived in the outlying areas. And therefore, they didn't have this grassroots kind of...
Why was that historically important? What was the difference between the walled city and the Paranut was... why was the walled city safer?
Because the Jews were in a better position, because they were more protected, because walled cities are always safer from the rabble.
If the rabble's outside.
Right, but this is what the Ramban says. So when in the first initial years of Purim, grassroots Purim was obviously only celebrated on the 14th, and there was no celebration on the 15th, because the people in the walled cities hadn't experienced that vulnerability that the city mice experienced it different than the country mice. So they did not spontaneously celebrate. So when Kidvuni Ladorot, when they came and they were metakin that there's going to be this Purim thing, in the at whatever point, the Ramban's not clear whether this was in year 2 or 3 or 4 or 10. So Purim on Yud Dalid, because we always think that Shushan Purim is something special. I remember the few years that would be, in the 5 years between the time we got married and the time we moved here, which was the only time I lived in Yerushalayim, I remember feeling Shushan Purim was really special. That's the fact that this year we'll have it here. It's so much nicer to go into the Megillah without not going hungry. Straight from Tanit Esther. But hey, this year we get a break because Tanit Esther is Mukta. But I remember thinking Shushan Purim is special because it's like a Yerushalayim thing. It's, you know, it's something obviously no one in America can experience, and most people in the world don't experience it. And even the people outside of Yerushalayim that have Shushan Purim, it's always like some kind of suffek or some kind of So there are a few places where it's not a suffek, but in a lot of places, in a lot of places it's a suffek, and there are people who do 2 days, which seems. What are they doing, Mitzpe Yericho?
Mitzpe Yericho,
I think. I don't know.
We'll get the same thing.
So the Ramban is saying, it's not that Shusha Purim is special. Purim is special. In other words, they made Purim Yud Dalid. And they said to those people who hadn't been celebrating spontaneous Purim all those years, we'll also make Purim for you. But you guys, you'll wait an extra day. You'll do it on the day after everybody else is doing it. Because those people, they understood that, you know, this is something that they should do spontaneously. And the spontaneity is now going to be concretized in rituals. So it's the exact opposite. Shushan Purim is almost not a penalty, but it's it's not the same. So Chazal gave them a day of their own, and they have an asmachta for this. The Ramban says, look at Pasuk Kaf Gimel. V'kibel et, I gave it out on the first time. It's the Pasuk, it's the Perek Tet of the Megillah. You know the Megillah Baal Peh. How many years have you been learning the Megillah?
A lot.
Perek Tet Pasuk Kaf Gimel. V'kibel ha-yudim et asher hechelu la'asot v'et asher katav Mordechai aleihem. They accepted as the takona that which they had already been doing. And that's the way the Ramban reads the Pasuk. When they came and said, this is the Takana Purim, everybody said, that's what we've been doing all along.
But the Pasuk before that, Kaf Bet, also refers to a plural. It says, Kayamim. Referring to more than one day already there, no?
Right, but that's referring to the historical Purim. That there were 2 days. There was resting on the 14th and there was resting on the 15th.
Okay, but look, if you look at your Chet and your Tet, it says also there. I mean, you have to go that far back. You Yudim Asher, you Asher B'Shem, Prezim, B'Shem, Rebot, Osim et Yom Abbas Ayom, L'Chol Asher HaSimcha V'Shem Shtev Yom Tov B'Shloch Manah. They did it around. They didn't say they were. Only in your Tet, in Chaf Aleph, they say that Mordechai said that what they had to do. So that's I mean, you don't have to like understand exactly the chelo. It's actually the mash that says it. They first did something, and then Mordechai gave him the decree of what they had to do.
That's what the Ramban said. Mordechai and Esther were merely formalizing these different practices, which had been the kind of.
So according to the Ramban, the Yechtov Mordechai refers 2 years later.
Again, he's not clear. Was it in year three? Was it in year four? But it was
at some point after the initial.
Right. As opposed to kind of the way, like the kind of the common understanding, that the first year, 11 months later, they said, "No, this year let's make." Which, by the way, I mean, this was the example I gave a few weeks ago about the 4th of July, and I assume that if you look at all types of other examples of this,
Thanksgiving. How long was it between Thanksgiving? It was only became a holiday in 1860.
Thanksgiving officially became a holiday during the Civil War, but there were common practices, folk practices of Thanksgiving on different days at different times.
When did it become the fact that it has to be 30 days before Christmas?
That, I don't know. That was Macy's had something to do with it. But
again,
think of Yom Ha'atzmaut.
The 4th of July actually was celebrated in Philadelphia the first year after the revolution.
No. But in other words, there was a debate whether it was the July 4th or July 5th. Right? I talked about this the other week with Adams and Jefferson and etc. Until it kind of becomes this national thing. Yom HaShoah, similarly. Yom HaShoah, there was 10 years of debate about Yom HaShoah. It was obvious that's a little more obviously murky, because there's no one date. It's not obvious. No, it's Purim. It's obvious we're talking about something in the middle of Adar, and we should have it on the 14th, we should have it on the 15th, we should have it on the 13th, the 12th, or 11th, whatever it is. But nobody thinks that you should celebrate Purim in Cheshvan, right? Yom Ha'atzmaut. Right, I don't know. You could have. It could have been the Yom Ha'atzmaut was.
November.
Okay, you could have celebrated Kaf Tet in November. You could have celebrated when the armistice was, right? When the war ended, right? It's a little odd. You celebrate Yom Ha'atzmaut. Yom Ha'atzmaut, we're commemorating the Hakrazat Medina, right? But Hakrazat Medina was bittersweet because it initiated a war, in which a lot of people died. So it makes sense. You might have said better to have it on the day that the war ended. You could hear us just tomorrow. 4th of July also, right? But Yom HaShoah. It's not obvious which one calendar date to pick, right? And the choice of the date commemorating the Warsaw Ghetto Uprising was obviously ideologically motivated. Right, because when we're going to commemorate the Shoah, we're going to commemorate the Shoah, not when we went like lambs to the slaughter, but when we rose up for fighting and for Gvura, right? And this was part of.
And it was in between Pesach and Yom Tov.
Right. Okay. That's the Rambam. Now let's go to the Gemara. The Gemara itself tonight is rather straightforward. You see, we're on 1, 2, the third line in the three wide line, in the wide lines, middle line. Eshkachan asiya, zechira minalan. Okay, all of this is talking about when we do the asiya, when we have all of the. Rashi says, "Dimishtev yom tov, shetehele frazim biyudalad mukafim b'tevav." So, okay, on Yud Dalid for everybody, and on Tet Vav in the walled cities, you have all of the festivities. That's Pasuk 19. Alkein Hayudim Aprazim Hayoshvim Barei Aprazot Osim Asiya Osim Et Yom Arba Asar Lechodesh Adar Simcha U'Mishte V'Yom Tov U'Mishloach Manot Ish L'Rayim. But what about Mikra Megillah? There's no mention of Mikra Megillah. Mikra Megillah is what's nicknamed Zechira. Asiya is Osim Et Kol HaMitzvot U'Mishloach Manot Matanot L'Vyonim Sudat Purim. Zechira is Mikra Megillah. Why is Mikra Megillah nicknamed Zechira? Zecher Malek. So who says this all has to be on the same day? And when we learn out in the end, Lamaisa, that the 14th is the 14th and the 15th is the 15th, that's talking about the other mitzvot. The Asiya, Zechira Menalan. How do we know that Mikra Megillah is on the same day?
Why is Mikra Megillah called Zechira?
Where were you 30 seconds ago? Why is Mikra Megillah Zechir? Maybe Zechir Amalek, Zechiyam, or Zechir. It was 30 seconds ago.
I was spacing out eating these dried
peas
while I was looking.
So Omakra, Vahayamim Ha'ele, Vahayamim Ha'ele, Nizkarim, Vinasim, Itkish Zechir El Asiya. It's true, the Pasuk doesn't say it explicitly, but we have a Hekesh from the Pasuk of Nizkarim v'Na'asim, of Zechira and Asiya. So when the day that you do the Asiya is the day that you do the Zechira. It's interesting, we think of Mikra Megillah as the Iker, of course, but the assigning of the date of Mikra Megillah to that day is piggybacked to the day that you do the other mitzvah. Masnisin dolo ki hai tana. Our Mishnah is not like that Tana. Which Tana? The Tana that taught in the Braisa, Rabbi Yoshua ben Karcha Omer, Karchinu Mukafin Chomami Mot Achashverosh Korin Bachamisha Asar. What did our Mishnah say?
Yoshua ben Nun.
Our Mishnah said that any walled cities from the times of Yoshua ben Nun should read the Megillah on the 15th. But there's another Braisa, Rabbi Yoshua ben Karcha, who said from the times of Achashverosh. Now, why would you think it's from the times of Achashverosh? Because that would make sense. The fact that the halacha is not like that is just another example of Purim being a little offbeat. My time at Rabbi Yoshua ben Karcha. So why does Rabbi Yoshua ben Karcha say from the time of Achashverosh? Kishushan. Ma shushan mukefet choma mimot Achashverosh v'korin b'chamisha asar. Af kol she mukefet choma mimot Achashverosh korin b'chamisha asar. It's almost like it's almost like a Purim Torah. What? Why should you... Ma inyan Achashverosh etzel Purim? What's the answer?
Duh.
Duh.
No duh.
So really the question is, V'tana didan, so our Tana in our Mishnah that says it's Mimot Yoshua ben Nun, really the kasha is on him. V'tana didan my timer. Yalif praze. We have a hekesh between the word prazim. Prazim means the unwalled cities. Dichtiv hocha in the Megillah, it says al kena yehudim a prazim v'chulei v'chulei. Dichtiv hatam in Sefer Dvarim, in Parshat Dvarim, levad me'arei ha-prazi. Harbe ma'od. When talking about the territories that Moshe and Yehoshua, here the connection more relevant is Yehoshua, conquer. So it refers to the areas as the prazim. So just like in the Megillah we talk about prazim, the unwalled cities, so too the other reference to prazim in the Torah is to Yehoshua. So therefore you see the Prazim of Shushan are connected to the Prazim of Yehoshua, and therefore the time of Yehoshua.
But it's one more, not only the Prazim, you have to take one more step. It's not just the Prazim.
Right.
To go to the
waltz.
Right. Is there somewhere that has to do with, because the whole story of the Megillah took place in Aras, so this was a way of connecting the Eretz Yisrael.
Yes, that's the Gemara later will discuss this. That has something to do with the Kavod of Yerushalayim. It wouldn't be proper to recognize that. The Gemara here does not suggest that. But the Gemara later will conclude that the real reason for Yehoshua ben Nun is for Kavod for Yerushalayim. It wouldn't be proper for Shushan to be singled out as a city with distinct halachot, and Yerushalayim would be the same as Hoboken, New Jersey.
But practically speaking, we didn't have any record of what was walled at the time of Ahasuerus. There wasn't.
Well, yeah, Shushan.
Yeah, no, but we did. We knew that Yerushalayim had a wall at the times of Shushan.
Well, we didn't know any other places. I mean, it would have just been Yerushalayim.
I don't know. Maybe Chazal certainly knew of it. Those places are no longer around. But when Chazal made this takana, they were away. It's interesting, of course, they don't give you a gazetteer with a list of the cities, but you know. And as nowadays, if we were writing the Gemara, we would say here and see the appendix where we list all of the cities that in fact celebrate on Tetvov.
Well, I mean, maybe
it was really. I think I heard once. I think from Menachem Liter, but I'm not sure. Talking about how this thing of like the Kavod Yerushalayim wasn't really the Kavod Yerushalayim. It was sort of cover up, not just the fact that Yerushalayim was destroyed, but by this point in the story, they should have been further along in the Beit HaMikdash, and they weren't, and they were sort of like, you know, saying, fine, right. You know what, we'll not make up, the Jews should be ashamed of what's going on. The Bizayon wasn't the Bizayon Stam of the four by the Bizayon was what they should move on. So I'm not sure necessarily they were really trying to focus so much on, you know, on if there was some walled city in Egypt or in Greece, whatever they've been from, but they were just focusing here, putting it back to focus on Eretz Yisrael in the story as well. That was probably really
good. Yeah, You see the Rashi, Mala Halan Mimot Yoshua, Velogar Sinan, Mala Halan Mukafin Choma Mimot Yoshua Benun, the Hadaprazin. Lav Mukafin Chomaninu. There's a problem with the Girsa here in the Gemara. But in all cases, Ben's question is correct. We're reverse engineering the whole answer to the question. We want to know, how do you know that there's a Yehoshua ben Nun connection to the walled cities? So what do we say? Well, there's a Yehoshua ben Nun connection. How do we know there's a Yehoshua ben Nun to the 15th? To the walled cities of the 15th? Well, there's a Yehoshua ben Nun connection to the unwalled cities of the 14th. So you can infer that the home address here is Yehoshua ben Nun. Bishlam al Rabbi Yehoshua ben Karcha. Lo Amar Katana Didan. Okay, Yehoshua ben Karcha said, Rabbi Yehoshua ben Karcha said it's sometimes Vachashverosh. Which, frankly, if you'd never heard of any of this, would seem like the more light. We happen to know this is not the halacha. But if you knew nothing and you landed from Mars and I asked you which Tana is correct,
it's more sensible.
It seems more sensible. So Bishlamal Rabbi Yehoshua ben Karcha that says sometimes Vachashverosh. So Bishlam Rabbi Yehoshua ben Karcha lo amar katana dinan. I understand why Rabbi Yehoshua ben Karcha did not agree with our Tana and say it's from the times of Yehoshua ben Nun. Delate le praze praze, because he rejects this gzeira shava of praze praze. Because what's the problem with the gzeira shava of praze praze? Well, it is a gzeira shava, but it's gzeira shava for a different halacha. It's a gzeira shava to tell you something about the prazim, not the mukafin. Right? You need to have a gzeira shava, and then you have to have an inference piggybacked on the gzeira shava. Elatana didan, but our Tana, in our Mishnah, who says it's from the times of Yehoshua ben Nun, my time aloha mark Rabbi Yehoshua ben Karcha. Why does our Tana, who is the halacha lamaisa, reject the plausible, sensible position of the Tana Kama, of Rabbi Yehoshua ben Karcha, who says it's from the time of Achashverosh? My time, huh?
Well, it's kind of a strange discussion in the sense that, you know, if I had to ask you today, they, you know, we'd have an academic discussion of whether they read Yerushalayim on the 15th or not. They could have just, they were new. I mean, it was, you know, it wasn't like Yehoshua ben Karcha didn't know whether they read Yerushalayim on the 15th or not. They probably just found out what they did. So it's a very strange, like, hypothetical or counterfactual. I'm not sure exactly even how to like describe it, because it wasn't like, it's like sometimes they have these Mishnah where they talk about something that happened in the Mikdash back when or whatever. Uh-huh. They didn't know what they really remembered, but all you do is find out what people did.
Presumably, if Yehoshua ben Karcha was in Yerushalayim for Purim, he would have read on the 14th. I don't know. Probably not, because he knew the halacha was. In other words, you can hold a position lahalacha v'lo lamaisa, right? In other words, so as not to be a zokin mamre, he would have leaned on the 15th if he was in Yerushalayim. But he may have held that the proper halacha was. So, Elatana did not my time aloha mark Rabbi Yehoshua ben Karcha. But our Tana, why doesn't he hold like Rabbi Yehoshua ben Karcha? Our position that holds it's Yehoshua ben Nun, why doesn't he agree that it should be from Achashverosh? My Tana, what's the reason? Question mark, exclamation point. Da, it lay praze praze. Because he has the gzera. In other words, why did Yehoshua ben Karcha not say like the Tanakama? Because Yehoshua ben Karcha. The Tanakama has a gzera shava, which is why he says Yehoshua ben Nun. Why does Yehoshua ben Karcha not say like the Tanakama? Because he doesn't hold from his gzera shava. So why does, now he flipped the question.
Why don't you hold
like Rabbi Yehoshua? What do you mean, why don't I hold like Rabbi Yehoshua? Because he has a Gzeira Shava. My time of the ha, itle praze praze, because he has the Gzeira Shava. Itle yeshlo the Gzeira Shava praze praze. So hachi kamar. No. That's another. It's saying that's a stupid question, right?
But nobody attacks the weakness.
What?
They're not attacking the specific weakness.
No, but it's implicit why Rabbi Yehoshua ben Karcha rejects the Gzeira Shava. But in Echanami, the Tanakama does have that's uvdati. The Tanakama has the Gzeira Shava. So when you say, so why doesn't he agree with Rabbi Yehoshua? So what do you mean? Why does he? Because he has the Gzeira Shava. So Achi Kamar, no. But this, so this is a stupid question.
Well, the question is, Karcha, why didn't he have the, why didn't he follow the Gzeira Shava? That's the proper question.
No, he rejects this particular. He doesn't reject the institution of Gzeira Shava. He does not. This particular case, it could, I presume it has to be because it's a weak Gzeira Shava. It's a Gzeira Shava.
So
which
I mean,
is,
are we going to ask that now? Like. What why do you don't do you hold like Rabbi Yehoshua ben Karcha? Because I have this Gezeira Shava.
Right.
So we're going to ask, but this Gezeira Shava doesn't have to do with...
No, we're not going to ask that question, but in other words, since he accepts it, we assume that he was aware of the flaw and accepted it anyway.
Well, what did he do? If he's got the Gezeira Shava, what did he do with it?
What he does with it is to tell you that Shushan Purim is tied to Yehoshua ben Nun. Not only from Achashverosh. That's what the Tanakama does with it.
No, but the other one, the Karcha, if he says there is a Gzeira Shava,
but he doesn't.
He doesn't.
Right. He did not have a tradition of this Gzeira Shava.
He didn't have a Masor of Gzeira Shava, so it may
of this Gzeira Shava.
Of this Gzeira Shava.
There's a note in the sidelines which seems to indicate that maybe the question is whether the Megillah itself could be Midrash, like the Torah could be with
whether you could do a Gzeira Shava in Megillah Esther. Right. So Hachika Amar. So now this is we're aware it's a silly question. So now Hachika Amar. This is how you should ask the question. Ela Shushan, Davdinan Keman. So what about Shushan? Apparently, the Gemara felt that whenever the walls of Shushan were built, it predated Achashverosh, obviously, but it postdated Yehoshua ben Nun. So Shushan Purim, according to the Havamina, on what day should Purim be celebrated in Shushan? On Yud Dalet or on Shushan Purim? On Yud Dalet. Why? Because Shushan did not have a wall from the time of Yehoshua ben Nun.
We just assume that. How do we know that?
The Gemara gives it as it's a given that Shushan's
wasn't there.
If you celebrate Tezvav, then you're giving Shushan a much special status, and you wanted to give Yishlat a special status.
Oh,
1 second. I'm sorry. We're saying now Shushan didn't have a wall.
Shushan didn't have a wall. And as we're saying, you read on Shushan Purim in cities that have walls from the times of Yehoshua ben Nun.
Right.
Which would exclude Shushan. Then
Avachu. Okay, I didn't know that Shushan didn't have a wall. I thought that was where the whole wall thing...
No, it has a wall. But the wall was not from the times of Yehoshua ben Nun. As if we say, like the Tanakh, according to Rabbi Yehoshua ben Karcha, we say...
I'm with you.
But you could make an obvious exception.
Which is the Gemara is about to do. So Shushan Davdin Kaman. Who does Shushan got? Lo Keprazin, Velo Kemukofin. It doesn't do like the Prazin because it doesn't lain on Yudalin. And it doesn't do like the Mukofin because it didn't have a wall from the times of Yeshua ben Nun. So Omar Rava V'omri La Kede Ishani Shushan. Ha'il v'naseh bones, nekuda. En achinami. Shushan is an exception to the rule. Why should Shushan be an exception to the rule? That's when the miracle happened. So Bishlam ala Tana Didan. That makes sense to our Tana. Hainu dechtiv. Medina u'medina, ir v'ir. And here the... Medina, Medina, Irvi. You see this long Rashi here? Gabe Zechira Vaasia Ktiv. Vayamim Haela Niskarim Vinasim Vhule. Mashma Medina, Medina, Kemin Haga. Veir, Veir, Kemin Haga. Each and every Medina here corresponds to what? What? Lamadnu sheyesh minhag chaluk b'medinot u'minhag chaluk b'ayarot lechaleg ben Shushan l'shar ayarot.
So the mukaf is a medina, and the
in other words, medina u'medina. Some Medinot do it this way. Some Medinot do it that way. Ir ve'ir. Some do it this way. Some do it that way. In other words, the idea that Purim is celebrated on different days is built into the Megillah.
Va'af ha'pish she'af hi bechlal prazim hukbu'u betedvav.
So then Rashi corrects the gears here. Hachi Garcin and Ella Rabbi Yehoshua ben Nun, Rabbi Yehoshua ben Karcha, Bishlama Medina Medina, Lechalek ben Mukafin Choma, Mimot Achashverosh, Lechain Mukafin, Mimot Achashverosh. So go back to the Gemara. Sorry, I've lost my place. As Bishlam Tana Didan Hainu Dichtiv Medina Medina Ir Veir Medina Medina Lechalek Bein Mukafin Choma Mimot Yehoshua Ben Nun Lemukafin Choma Mimot Achashverosh.
Ir ve'ir nami lechalek ben Shushan l'shar ayarot. So that's the Tanakama. In other words, according to the Tanakama, you have to make this distinction. It's like a two-step process. There are walled cities and there are unwalled cities. In walled cities, it's from the times of Yehoshua ben Nun. And walled cities after Yehoshua ben Nun, except for Shushan, which is an exception. Elo le Rebbe Yehoshua ben Karcha, Bishlama medina u medina, lechalek ben Shushan l'shar ayarot. Elo ir v'ir l'mayati. As Rabbi Yehoshua ben Karcha, since his position is simpler, you don't need this two-step solution. And as the Tanakhama says, medina u medina, ir v'ir. Medina u medina, walled cities and unwalled cities, ir v'ir, walled cities from the times of Yehoshua ben Nun, and Shushan, which is the exception. But Rabbi Yehoshua ben Karcha doesn't need that, because Rabbi Yehoshua ben Karcha has only one distinction. Walled cities from the times of Achashverosh. So therefore, do you need to make an exception for Shushan?
No.
So then what do you need? Medina o Medina? Ear v ear. You don't need this two-step process.
But this whole discussion, though, still assumes a fact that there's no necessary basis for it.
Which is?
That Shushan didn't have the wall at the time of Shushan.
It doesn't matter. You could go home and Google. There's a thing called Google. You can look it up to find out the answer to this question. David, you already looked this up while we were talking? And what was the answer? I knew what you were doing there. I didn't think you were looking at cats playing with string on YouTube.
I'm assuming it wasn't a rabbi.
What?
I was not checking, but I assume it was not going that far.
You know, teachers today, we have to be used to being fact-checked as we go. It's like Lahavdil. It's like being Donald Trump. You have to be used to being fact-checked as the words are coming out of your mouth. So, Ben, you have alternative facts.
It's better, but most cities have walls. I mean, people build walls around cities.
I don't know how many cities had walls, how many cities didn't have walls, and I don't know when Shushan was founded. But I presume that people do know. Now, you want to tell me you're going to go home and you're going to look in a book of Apikorsish archaeology and you're going to tell me that Shushan had a wall from 5,000 BCE? It doesn't matter, because Chazal thought it didn't, right?
Or they thought it didn't. They didn't know. And if they didn't know, that was sufficient.
Right.
If they didn't know what?
If they didn't know it had a wall.
You're right.
But I assume this is an answer which is known. And
or not, and then it doesn't matter.
But Chazal were under the belief that Shushan had a wall, but not a wall that was that antique.
It certainly makes for an interesting discussion if it didn't have a wall.
Okay.
Is there a difference between walled cities? Like some walled cities, it's just a bunch of people got together, put the wall to protect themselves. Some walled cities, a city that the king determined, because he's going to live there, he's going to put a wall around, it's going to be the county seat or the capital or whatever. So maybe that's why you would put in eel v eel.
And then what would be the difference?
Because you would, because if you say eel, you would think, okay, it's a proper seat that the king builds the wall and he declares it to be a city. And the other type of eel is just a bunch of people they put together first because they don't want to be attacked by Indians.
I don't think so. Yeah. I don't think so. So Ella, but in other words, so again, Medina, Medina, ir ve'ir is helpful to the Tanakhama because you need the two steps. Medina, Medina, walled cities and unwalled cities, ir ve'ir, Arim from the time of Yehoshua ben Nun, and the one ear which is an exception to the rule, which is Shusha. But Yehoshua ben Karcha, who says that you don't need Yehoshua ben Nun. So what does he do with the Pasuk? Ela, ir ve'ir, to Rabbi Yehoshua ben Karcha, lamai ata, what does that come to teach us? Omar lacha, Rabbi Yehoshua ben Karcha, Latana dinan, minicha. He says, "Don, this is not a question on me. This is also a question back on the Tanakama. Kevan de itle praze praze." Yehoshua ben Karcha says, "What are you hacking me a chanik for? Medina, medina, ear v'ear. What is that? In other words, if I don't need that posuk to teach me the special exception of Shushan."
Hold on a second. The Tanakhama doesn't need you to teach that either. Why? Because he's got a Gzeira Shava. In other words, the general idea that you don't need, that you can darshan a pasuk to teach you something, is also predicated on the idea that you don't need two psukim to teach you the same thing. So Rabbi Yoshua ben Karcha says, hold on a second. This whole thing about Shushan being the 15th, that he learns from the Gzeira Shava, which I reject, which I don't hold from. So then the question that you're asking on me is also relevant to him. What do you do with this Medina or Medina ear v'ear, which seems like... What's the pshat Medina or Medina ear v'ear?
Well, the meaning may not change, so...
Every single city and every single...
Give it to me in the simplest non-literal translation of the pshat.
Everywhere.
Right? What the exact definition of a Medina is and what the exact definition of ear is it does not cause problems. The pshat at Medina ear v'ear means... Where would he know? Right? So he says, so the question that you're attacking me with, first let's hear from Tanakhama, what does he learn from that posuk, since he doesn't need that posuk to teach you the special exception of Shushan, because he has a Gzeira Shava for that. Lamali elakralid rashahu da'ata ukid Rabbi Yehoshua ben Levihu da'ata da'amar Rabbi Yehoshua ben Levi, krach v'kol ha-samuch lo v'chol ha-nira imo. Nidan k'krach. Medina, ear v'ear, teaches us something else. And both I, Rabbi Yehoshua ben Karcha, and the Tanakhama agree that Medina, ear v'ear, is not coming to teach us about which day Shushan reads. It's coming to teach us the din of samuch v'nira. Medina or Medina. They're Medinot, and then there are neighboring Medinot. There are Arim, and there are neighboring Arim.
But you only need that in the case of a walled city. It doesn't work for an unwalled city. There's no Samuch issue.
Right?
So maybe it would work for whichever of those words actually refers to a walled city. Otherwise, you've got it's extraneous.
Look at Rashi on the second wide line. Rabbi Yehoshua ben Levi, uvechiluk lo ayre. He's not talking about making this chiluk between Shushan and the other cities, klal at all. Ella hachika amar. This is what he's saying. Kol ir ve'ir hasamuch lemedina shdei kekemota. Right. So this is the din of samuch v'nire. That when we say a walled city reads on the 15th, it's not just lifnim min hachoma. All of these, of course, are titles of Agnon books. Agnon has a volume called Samuch v'nireh. It's got another volume called Lifnim min hachoma. Okay, but that's for another time.
Also, there's like nothing more Israeli than Smoch v'nireh. It's like a very
Samuch v'nireh.
I know, yeah. But I'm saying they turned it around into
right. Israelis who don't know the halachic concept of Samuch v'nireh think the title of that Agnon volume, if they know about it, is Smoch v'nireh. Right. Come close and see. But that's not what it is.
Or rely on me, and we'll see.
Oh, yeah.
Smoch v'nireh.
You'll see.
Walk the other way. So this is the din of Samuch v'nireh. And that's what both I, Rabbi Yehoshua ben Karcha, and the Tanakhama use Medina ir v'ir to teach us the din of Samuch v'nireh. Krach v'kol v'item Rabbi Chia. So ad kama, so how close do you have to be for the din of Samuch v'nireh to apply to you, that you, outside of the walls, would still read on Tetvav. At Kama Omer Rabbi Yirmiya, V'item Rabbi Chia, some say it was Rabbi Chia who said it, Rabbi Chia Bar Abba, Ke Michmatan L'Taveria. Where's Michmatan?
Like Chamat.
Oh, it's like Chamat Gader? Chamat Gader?
In what? In the Steinsels? Right, so in other words, what Chamat Gadir is near whatever the Chametav area, the Chametav area were outside of the walls of the city of Tveria.
And he says it's a mil.
So it's a mil, right? So I mean, how far is a mil?
A kilometer.
Is it a mile?
It's a little more than a kilometer.
Yeah.
It's not a mile.
1 point something kilometers.
Well, it's a nautical mile.
It's 2,000. The proper answer is a mil is 2,000 amot. Right? 1 mil is 2,000 amot. But in our measurements today, which may or may not correspond to my the length from my fingertip to my elbow, so a mil is 1,000-something yards
something like
to 1,200 yards. A yard and a meter are more or less the same.
Well, 960, according
right?
to the opinion.
So the Gemara says, so lema mil. In other words, if it's a mil, so say a mil. Don't tell me from Tveria to Chamat, because not everybody's going to know what that is. Hakamashmalon de shiura de mil. Kamahave ke mechamatan le Tveria. No. So why does the Gemara tell you from Minsk to Pinsk, from Tveria to Chamatan?
So you should know what a mil is.
Yeah, no, because as the Gemara was aware that measurements are constructed in ways that are relevant at certain moments, and it could be in the future. You know, it's like in the what's it called in America, the Lishkata Statistica, the Bureau of Weights and Measures. They have, you know, a chunk of gold which equals 1 pound. You know, like the atomic clock, you know, sets the official time. Right? There's, you know, there are these actual weights and measures that are the literal gold standard for how much is a pound and how much is an ounce and how far is a foot, right? So we're telling you in the future, if you're unclear about how far a mil is, we've given you this marker by which you can measure.
All right. Let's go home.